Blog Talk Radio.
Buffalo Soldier. Buffalo Soldier. Will you survive in this new land?
Thought they wanted to desert.
They were tired of the hatred, yes they were. They were so tired of the hurt. Some of them were tired of the killing and oh,
so tired
of the misery. Oh Lord, but they had to keep on fighting,
had to fight.
We would be free. We want to take a little time and thank you right here. Buffalo soldier, wonder will you survive in this land? Oh, Buffalo soldier,
please
listen to me. Mm-hmm. Tell me when will they call you a man? Oh, tell me when will they call?
Good evening and welcome to Soul Purpose Healing. And tonight we're talking about Buffalo Women Rising and the project going on at Fort Naco. That was a song by the Persuasions from 1972 called Buffalo Soldiers. Wow, brings back a lot of memories. So tonight we're going to talk about history and the present moment. And we're going to have the Buffalo Women joining us. Mama AZ and Lynn McFall are in the house, I believe. Are you there, ladies?
Yes, ma'am. We are.
Hallelujah. So thank you for joining
Greetings,
us tonight
sister.
For this special edition. And we say happy Earth Day to Mama AZ. It's so good to be on this side of the dirt, huh?
Oh, sister, you have no idea. Right now, I'm so emotional. It's just been a day. I can't even put it into words, Sister Viata. And I'm just reflecting. We haven't gotten to Fort Naco yet. We're en route. It's about 45 minutes. And I'm going to pass you to Sister Lynn. She's rolling, and until I can get my composure together, because a really interesting day to be on this planet at this moment. So here is Sister Lynn, and she can tell you what I can't right now. Thank God.
Okay. I hope Sister Lynn's not driving and talking, is she?
I have you on speaker.
Okay, that helps.
I know.
Be careful.
Yes.
Be careful.
Very careful. The speed limit is low. It's 50, so just taking it low and slow. But hello to the listeners. And you, Sister Viata, it is an honor to be on the Blog Talk once again. I'm not one that likes to talk. Mama AC has got me out of my comfort zone yet again. A woman of action, Fort Naco. And it's so funny because I live here in Arizona. I was born in Fort Huachuca. And Fort Huachuca, the fort, and Fort Naco are connected. And so many people here in Arizona don't even know about Fort Naco. So a little bit of history about Fort Naco is it was the first actual camp that the Buffalo Soldiers had for Border Patrol. So they were the first Border Patrol troop for Naco, Mexico, and Naco, Arizona. So that right there in itself is, you know, a big, big history. And it's so funny because where it's located now, I know back when it was first built, that there were no houses around. But now it's right in the middle of a housing complex, you know? So it's like you see all these regular houses, and you turn the corner and you look to the left, and there's this camp, partially ruined, and then part of it is renovated. They started renovating, I think, maybe about 15 years ago. And for some reason, they just stopped. I guess, you know, as usual, when it comes to African-American history, Black history, whatever you want to call it, they kind of want to sweep it under the rug and let it go. So when Mama AZ found out about it, I took her out there and looked at it. Once we stepped on the land, it was so empowering and so emotional. I could just feel, you know, the energies that were coming in. It was like they were just crying out and speaking, you know, don't let this die, don't let this die. You can't let it just go to ruin like this. So that's how Camp Knoxville started for us. The personal thing, emotional thing, and the spiritual. So that's about all I have to say. And the reason why we say Buffalo Women Rising, because we want to make it a school of higher learning. So me as being a Buffalo Soldier Association member, I portray Kathy Williams, or Williams Kathy. So she was the first documented female Buffalo Soldier. She was a seamstress, and once she got out of the military, she was an entrepreneur. So I connect with her on all three of those, except for the military. I was military wife, spouse, but I was not actually in the military. But when they said that she was a seamstress, she was a cook, yeah, and then an entrepreneur. So I'm also a designer, but I cook for the family, and my business is sewing by design. That was my interest, my connection there. I believe that Mama AZ has got herself composed. Are you okay now? You know, and just hearing that song is different than the Bob Marley. You know, they're both very impactful, but they're both so different. So today for Mama AZ was very emotional, happy. She was up dancing today. She had such a good time. We went to Tombstone, and we marched in the parade out there in Tombstone. And they always had the Buffalo Soldiers there. Usually we started out, but there was another chapter from Mesa or Phoenix, and they started it off. So just the connection on all the areas, all the vortexes here in Arizona, all the military Buffalo Soldier camps, are just, they're connected. They're just all connected or on the grid. I guess that's the language that you use. I'm learning. So I'm going to turn it over to Mama AZ.
Okay, sister, can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you. I'm sorry, I had my phone on mute because I was moving. But yes, I can hear you fine. Thank you.
Great. Oh, okay. Sister, this is just a phenomenal journey. I'm here in I'm passing this street called Shawnee Drive, and these mountains here, I'm not sure exactly where we are, but we're out of the city of Sierra Vista, and it's incredible. You and everybody who may be listening, if we're passing Ramsey Canyon, and there's a bed and breakfast up in the mountains in this canyon, and it is so exquisite. I've just had so much energy. I've had such a tremendous energy shift with being here on the opposite end of Phoenix. It's just incredible. And what is so amazing about it is that when I was 19, I had a brand new house, and I put Italian cypresses all around my house at that time, all the way around the driveway, the yard in the front, yard in the back, nothing but Italian cypresses and yucca trees. And now I'm here in Sierra Vista, and what do I see besides yucca trees? I haven't seen too many yucca trees, but I see Italian cypresses all over the place. And it's, to me, these Italian cypresses are like antennas, signals. And that reminds me of this place called Signal Hill on the way just before you get to Tucson, which is also a vortex that I would like for the listening audiences to do some research, because it has, in reference to Naco, Mount Shasta, Haifa, Israel, many of those places that are vortex. And Brother Kwame, I hope he's there. He could probably tell you more about it. And I'm going to reach out to some other medicine women who have experienced some of these locations. And I'm just in awe at how the Creator has given me the opportunity to reconnect with parts of myself, to recognize this is what I came to the planet to do. And I'm just grateful for Sister Lynn. I'm grateful for everything that has opened up in my world at this moment. So,
Brother Kwame is in the house and his mic is open.
Oh, great, great, great.
And greetings, Sister Beata, and happy solar return, Ms. AZ. And
thank
to
you.
All the rest of the audience, I send greetings. I'm glad you were talking about Signal Hill, because, you know, it's very timely that you and Sister Lynn chose to be, you went back there to Narco, but you were there when the summer solstice kicked in on the 21st. And this is, like you said, this is a portal, because it's a very sacred place in which there has been petroglyphs. And when we were there in Arizona in 2015, the elders came up from South America and Mexico, and they taught us about the petroglyphs, and the writings and the pictures that were left there are for to guide us in this new shift that has come about on this earth, because they were drawn at the time of different shifts that have happened on the planet. So what we have is their recordings on the walls of these mountains and different sacred places they've written, because those are like around 1400, you know, in the 1450s, before they even discovered America. These writings from the early 900 to 1450, they've been dated as this rock art. And a lot of these figures have messages. And what the elders told us when we were there, and it was even the ones that were shown in Red Rock up there just before you go to Sedona. Red Rock Canyon is a very powerful vortex also. And what it had on it, it had the DNA strands and how they were coming together again. And the thing that they told us is that when you cast your shadow over on a petroglyph, it connects your soul, your shadow. Your shadow is connected to it, and it knows how to give you that information. There's also a place in New Mexico, Paco Negro, but it's the Black Rock. It's a place there in New Mexico up around Rio Rancho. And that place up there it has hundreds and hundreds of petroglyphs that were written, you know, left for us to read. I say written, but they're pictures, but there's a story that when you learn how to read them, because there was one in particular that showed a figure that was, when you turned it upside down, the older shoulders, and what it was the 9/11, the two twin towers, and what happened with the two twin towers. They had foreseen this coming. So you were very much on point and being there in Narco right now, because you're in the energy of these mountains, because, and Sister Lynn showed an excellent picture with you standing in the pit, but these mountains were behind you. And the thing about mountain energy, it's very slow to inundate us into what it is that we're to receive from it when we're there on that earth around those mountains. And this is what a friend just left Mount Shasta, and she was saying that, you know, her first time there, and they were showing her that electronic equipment doesn't work there, and about the underground portals and the mineral springs that are around that mountain, because that is the center point for this Turtle Island, is on the west coast. That's Mount Shasta. Then we parallel down to Sedona, Bell's Rock, Cathedral Rock, and then you triangulate to the east and you have Pilot Mountain. So all of these are part of the grid, and the grid is 144 grids that are around the planet, and they've all been reactivated since 2012. And these are the energies that we're receiving. All beings are receiving this that's on the earth, and the energies that's coming with the cosmic alignment, because we're having a rebooting on August the 21st, 2017. It's the first time in about 39 years that we are going to have a full lunar eclipse across the United States. And it's a very powerful time to watch the sun, the moon go in front of the sun and turn dark in the middle of the day and back to day again. And so that's a rebooting. And then we have the other awakening that's coming September the 21st. In Revelations 12, it says that she will be dressed by the sun, and she will have the moon at her feet, and she will be crowned with the 12-star crown, and she will give birth to the King of Kings. And this happens every 7,000 years in the constellation Virgo, that Jupiter passes through Virgo, because it's moving through, but what is happening in the shifting, Virgo is the opposite of Pisces in the zodiac and the signs. And what's coming in is Aquarius and Leo. And this is what the 12-star crown is, because nine of those stars are the constellation of Leo, because Leo is directly above in the constellations of Virgo, and then the other three would be our planets, Mars, I think, Venus, and I forget the other one, but those will be the other three. So all of this information I'm sharing is what's happening right now in this now moment, and we've won an opportunity in order to what I was sending Sister Viata last night with some information in dealing with transhumanism and looking at eugenics and how they're now looking at this technology and trying to redo what they were doing with eugenics and creating new humans. So it's moving from the Homo sapien to the Homo spiritus, but they're trying to alter it by altering with the DNA and doing the different. Even now, you can order DNA. I don't know if Sister Viata got the one I sent, where you can order a GMO kit that you can do genetic modifications in your own home. I don't know if I'm still there.
Brother Kwame.
Yes, dear.
Can you repeat that? What?
Yeah, this is the science that is going on now. There was information that I was spirit led me to, and I was looking at some things and discovered this whole new transhumanism and the whole new technology that they're using with modifying and changing the DNA. And there's an excellent video that I found on the Discovery last night. And then I started researching what they were talking about. And this is where I came through with the information that I was sharing with Viata and Beth.
Wow. This is amazing, and I thank you for sharing that, Brother Kwame. Now, let me ask you this. Can you repeat in August that
August
you were...
August 21st, and there you can go online and put in Lunar Eclipse, August 21st, 2017. And you can find the charting. It's going to go from Oregon to South Carolina. It's going to be the route that is crossing. It's going to cross part of Georgia. I don't know about it crossing part of Arizona. It's too far south, but it's going to come across the northern part of the Turtle Island.
Wow. This isn't, wow. Well, all I know is, Brother Kwame, the more that I'm here at Fort Naco, the more that I am recognizing the importance of what we are doing here. And not only that, if I know from the journey that we took to Signal Hill, coming back from Phoenix, that there is something very amazing that is, I guess you could say, hooking up or getting ready to unfold. Can you share with the listening audiences what that might be? Because I believe that Mama Bear out of Oregon, she has a 559 number. She and Lieutenant, meaning Chrissy, went to Signal Hill, and she and Lieutenant eyeballed the petroglyphs, whatever it was. It was amazing. They both shared with me. So can you expound on that a bit?
This is what I was sharing when I'm saying that we had to gather. See, we had the Return of the Ancestors in 2009, where all of the shamans and medicine people and healers and workers of the grid, even Benny LeBeau, who's now dropped his robe and is on the other side, but he was very much in aligning the earth grid in the 144th grid. But what he was also doing, he was Shoshone, and he was doing the grids like we did when we had the drought here in 2000, I think it was 6, and he came here and we went to Stone Mountain and did a sunrise ceremony to realign Stone Mountain in order to get rid of the drought that we were having in Georgia. And what it has happened is that this grid, these ley lines, and it's called geomancy. It's earth divination and learning how to realign. It's like running an extension cord where you can get the best power for, you know, that you're out in the woods and you're trying to get electricity to a certain area where you're going to live. What you have to learn to do is how to put it on the ley line. Animals even know it, because you can watch a dog. If you ever watch a dog when he's getting ready to take a poop, he'll turn his body and he'll turn around back and forth. But what he is trying to do is get in alignment with true north, because magnetically it will pull the poop out of his butt. So the animals know that they have to turn in a certain direction, you know, that would align, that will pull the poop out if they're having a problem. So it's
really, Brother Farley.
It really is true, and animals know this instinctively, and even how do you think that, you know, porpoises and whales and all of these fish migrate from the north to the south in the season, same way that the birds migrate from the north to the south, is because they know how to follow the magnetic pull of the energy in the earth. So what we're doing is that we're beginning to get our true geomancy back, because all of the grids have been activated. It's really something that I learned with it, because I was born in Mississippi. I was born at 33.59 degrees latitude and 88.50 longitude. And where I have been living at here in Flowville, Georgia, is 33 degrees latitude and 88.20 degrees longitude. It's a few degrees off from where I was originally on the planet, where I do the work of doing my lodge and doing ceremonies. And I'm in perfect. I didn't know until I did my chart to see the alignment. And these are the things that happen with us when we migrate to certain places. It's good that you can go in and go into astrology, give the information, and give the information where you are in the city that you're in, and see how all of your planets align with, because as above, so below. And what you want to know is the energies that you're getting that's in the grid, and what's going on above you, that your alignment, just like you align the chakras in your body, you align the seven planets above you with the earth in you. And these are what the pictures that were left in the petroglyphs that you were talking about, the lieutenant and Christy.
Baba Bear.
And Baba Bear and the sister that was with her, when they
Mama
went
Bear.
And saw... Yeah, but when they saw the petroglyphs, I'm not good with names. The thing that I'm saying is that when they saw the pictures, like I was saying, when you cast the shadow, you put the energy in you, and you will begin to disseminate what messages that you have seen and allowed your shadow to touch.
Mm.
So it's when we go to those sacred places where they drew those glyphs. Because my daughter took me there in the little Las Vegas, right there across California into Arizona. There's a place there, and there was a native that I went to this old town that was a mining town, and this brother native told me where they used to do sacred worship and drew me a map to go there and find that when I went into this cave, all of these glyphs were there. And that's where they did sacred ceremonies. And these are the places that we need to be doing ceremony, because I want to try to get some brothers I know in North Carolina and South Carolina to go up on Pilot Mountain on
August
21st, because when you do sacred ceremonies on those vortexes and portals, mountains, you will do greater good, because when they were getting ready to take, this is the legend that happens with Pilot Mountain, when they were getting ready to take the indigenous people on the Trail of Tears, they went to that mountain, and what they did was ceremony. And they did a ceremony that caused an earthquake to make the Mississippi River run backwards that shook from the Madrid Fault there in Missouri all the way to Charleston, South Carolina, North Carolina. But the Mississippi River, it shook so bad that the Mississippi River ran opposite. It ran from the south to the north and flooded a lot of areas, and it's in history. But they say that because the Indians went there on that mountain and did a ceremony, that's what caused that to happen.
Kwame, for that information, you know, this goes back to maybe what I was seeing as I was digging for 2 days at least out here at Fort Knox. I was seeing things out of the corner of my eye, and I'm like, what?
And peripheral vision. Peripheral vision sees into the parallel universes, and it sees spirits the same way that cats can look directly at spirits and parallel universes. It's your peripheral vision sees that looking out the corner, because it's a different dimension when you look at things from the peripheral vision.
Well, in as I'm digging and I'm looking at these structures that once were the quarters, I can see a soldier, different ones, but one in particular is fascinating. I can see him propped up, leaning up against the wall with one foot propped up. And I forgot what you call those little caps. However, Williams Kathy, meaning Sister Lynn, that's part of her attire, her regalia, or her uniform. And I'm thinking, like, why? What is it that they want me to know, Brother Kwame? And I'm seeing them more and more. The more that I'm out there at Fort Knox, it is as though I've been called to get ready something, and I want to put out there. This also has to do with part of Sika's land. I haven't reached out to her yet, but I had a vision last night. And there at one time, Brother Kwame, they had a ministry. And the ministry was called Vision Quest. And they had teepees with the young people and teaching them how to get back to the land. And part of that very land that Sika owns now was part of this ministry. And for whatever reason, when I went to the parade today in Tombstone, Arizona, I was just overwhelmed at the costume that they had on, or the regalia, the Buffalo Soldiers. It was like I had stepped back into behind a time warp, and all I could do was just cry. I booed, and everybody was like, what are you? I said, I'm fine. It was just, I don't know why, I just had a fit. And I was just walking around like I was in another zone, and I don't know how to explain it, but there is something
And I thank you for sharing that intimate point that you had when you saw that. But these are what the energies that we've the grid and the energy that's coming from the earth, the residuals of beings that have been walking upon the earth leave a certain energy, or their spirits and souls are still connected, and it's there. But what we're now able to do, that we're now connecting to our higher selves, which you were doing when you were feeling what you're feeling, because that's in your DNA and the Akashic record. This is why I say it's dangerous in what they're getting ready to do in being technologically thinking that they can alter the strands of DNA and change the coding in the DNA to alter the being from being reconnected to the higher self and disconnected, and connecting them to a frequency of technology and not spirituality. This is what the challenge is, the same way eugenics was doing and creating what Hitler wanted to create was the super race. Now they're creating the androids or the AI humans, and what they're attempting to do is keeping you from becoming the Homo spiritus that we're evolving into. This is the new evolution, what the elders and the ancestors left us, in that we are to be communicating with these beings and these other dimensions. This has always been the way of the planet. This is what happened to Lemuria, Mu, Atlantis, Kemet, and now we're now in this evolution of our becoming a greater purpose of our spiritualness. And these are the challenges that we, the way showers, are now having to show the way how to go back to the mother and connect with these energies in order to take us to this next level, because it's not in the computer, it's all within us. As it says, everything in the universe is within you. When will you learn to use yourself? You are the universe. That's the you in truth.
I'm sorry, you got another caller whenever you're ready.
Go ahead, Sister Viata. I was just answering a question.
Okay, 559-320, your mic is open.
Greetings, everybody, and thank you, Brother Kwame and Mama AZ and Sister. This is Amy in Oregon, a.k.a. Mama Bear. So
greetings.
I just wanted to greetings. I wanted to share a little bit and touch in with the grid talking and that vortex energy that Brother Kwame was talking about. Where I'm at right now in Oregon, I'm on a grid that links from Mount Shasta to what is called Gold Hill, which is kind of like the mystery spot you may have heard of in California, where you can stand in a certain spot and it looks like the dimensions are off. Where here, and then it links to another mountain called 8 Mile Mountain, and then back to Mount Shasta. And what I learned about Gold Hill is that it was a place that only shamans were allowed to go to, because the theory was that you could go there and disappear into another dimension. And that is supposed to have a lot of healing, needs a lot of healing. It's being fixed and still needs more healing. And then our trip to Signal Hill, there's the signal there, of course. That's why it's called Signal Hill. And then when we reached the top, I just started crying because I could feel the energy there. And I took a lot of pictures of what I could, you know, while I was there. That night, looking at the pictures, I could see, especially in the shadow part, I could see certain faces, and then would show it to somebody else, and they would see a completely different thing. And so that kind of affirms what you were saying, Brother Kwame, about the shadow and what it brings out, because what I started noticing is that everyone who looked at any part of the shadow in there, each person would have a different shadow show up in those shadows within the pictures.
And thank you for sharing that. And, you know, you're in, like you said, you're connected with Mount Shasta, but, you know, it's no coincidence that all, if you look at all of those people that are writing books and into the New Age or have moved to Oregon. I have a friend there in Eugene, and he came from Georgia. He just went to Mississippi to his family reunion. We're going to meet up Wednesday. But what he's gone there to and connecting to is after he did his homeplacia, when you were talking about down in Speaker's Land, doing the vision missionary, but he did his homeplacia, which is a vision quest, and he connected with the Milky Way, and he relocated there in Oregon because he said something was drawing him there. It's because there are certain portals like you're talking about, sister, and I thank you for sharing and initiating the call in order to bring forth confirmation of what is going on the west, on the east, in the south, in the southwest. So we're triangulating communication of things in which we are experiencing on this part of where we are on the earth. And it's very important that we become aware and begin to utilize the sacredness of these places, because it's going to be an activation of us and those that are going to connect with us. And this is what I loved about going there in Virginia, Mothers for the Earth, being able to go there and watch the Divine Feminine do this, because this is why Washington is the wagon wheel, which is really there in Shoshone land and out there in Montana. And that area, that's where the real wagon wheel is, or the medicine wheel. But what they did is created the wagon wheel that they used the constellation Virgo in making Washington, D.C. the capital, because Benjamin Banneker aligned the constellation with what they built. So it's very important that we begin to go to these places, overstand like you and the sister, Lieutenant Christie, did, and go into these places, take a bit, because when we record it, there's more in that digital picture than we can really see with our naked eye. And most times, when you take pictures in the dark, you're going to get orbs. And the orbs are the spirits and the beings that are there that are captured in that digital photography.
Exactly. Yes. Thank you, Brother Kwame.
Thank us. There's no I and we.
Thank you.
So I'd like to say something. This is Sister Lynn. Since we're talking about, like, the third eye and everything, when Mama AZ was preparing to dig her pit, I was zapped out that day. I mean, it was like I couldn't move. I was in a whole different zone. But while I was in that zone, I was like tranced out. I had visions. I saw orbs. It was just, overwhelming for me. Very overwhelming.
And I thank you, because when you and Mama Z called, and the thing that you were sharing about the ants. And it was very symbolic about the ants and its industrialness, but the part of the ant and its colony, and you were talking about it moving the eggs when y'all were digging. It was taking all these little white things, which are the eggs that the queen lays, because in the insect world, the female runs the beehive, the ant colony. Most of all of the insect world deals with the female.
Brother Kwame,
yes.
Sister Viata, we have to exit for 1 minute. Continue to talk. I want to just continue to talk because one of the Reiki ladies are calling in. So give us a moment. We're taking a recess and keep talking. We'll be right back, Sister Viata. Thank us.
Okay. Sister Viata.
Yes, sir.
Did you get to read any of that information that I sent to you? I know it was kind of, as I was finding it, I said, who can I send this to that would, this would be important? Because I know that you're doing the thing with, what's her name, in Chicago, and you have your show there. And it's something that a lot of us are not getting. It's not in mainstream news.
No, I haven't gotten to it yet, but believe me, I'm going to read that and take it into consideration for maybe Sunday's show. I have a doctor coming on Sunday, Soul Purpose Healing, but I might even be able to comment on that. But, yeah, I'm definitely going to mention that. It's funny, you mentioned Lemurian. I was just reading a book someone gave me. And they mentioned Lemurian, and I'd never even heard of that before. Can you elaborate on what that is, the Lemurian race?
The Lemurians are like there was the three. It was Lemuria and Mu were like the mother and father of Atlantis, in the way that I've heard history say it. And in that. They were located in somewhere down there around South America in that part of the ocean. And they had whole civilizations in which they were, what was said was is that they had the part of where there were beings that were from other planets that were interacting with them and teaching them the technology and the things in which they were using with being able to construct that civilization that they were building at that time. And they were very advanced in their technology as far as being able to use crystalline energy. And these were the tools in which they did in constructing their civilization, but also with being able to interact. They say that they were trying to remember where is it. It's in South America somewhere where they have these, they're almost like petroglyphs, but they're in the land. There's runways of the spider, then they have a hummingbird, and you can only see them from flying above, but these were designed onto the earth from these teachings of these beings that were connected with the Lemurians and the Mu people on earth.
So they became extinct, is that correct?
Right. They're just like Atlantis.
Okay. And then I'm also reading about a group called the Hapiru, H-A-P-I-R-U. Have you heard of them?
No. I'm not familiar with that.
Well, this is going to be, it's a book called Unlocking the Consciousness of Your Soul. The author, I met with the author and he gave it to me. And he talks about the Hapiru destiny represent the Jewish people today, the ones over there in Israel now, not the, I don't think the true Jews, but the Jewish people. And it's anyway, there's so much that we can learn about, and so what you're talking about that's about to happen with this GMO and how they're changing so many things and trying to manipulate things, I think it's just part of evolution, because what we don't know about, people who don't know about the Hapiru, the Lemurian, the Atlanteans, when we study these cultures and then they become extinct, it's like, what's next? You know, we're asking, okay, what's next? It's like we shouldn't even be surprised at some of the things that are happening.
Well,
yeah,
this is Amy. I wanted to add, from what I've learned, Shasta has an underground city called Talos. And Lemurians are supposedly there. What I've learned is that the Lemurians are in a spirit realm, a dimension of which they can step in and show themselves. And people have told stories about seeing beings that have taken them into and under Mount Shasta to this underground utopia called Talos. There's some stories. There's a man who went there, I believe, in the 40s and told the whole story about it and then went back to prove it and I believe disappeared. Don't quote me on that one for sure, but definitely there are some stories about Talos and Mount Shasta that are linked to the Lemurians.
Right.
Wow,
and
that's fascinating.
And Lemurian means the lost, what is it, the lost land or the lost mountain, because they were part of the Indian and the Pacific Ocean. And you're correct about Mount Shasta, because Mount Shasta, there's a whole underground, this is Shambhala. These are the portals, just as they found in the Grand Canyon. They found the cave, which the Havasupai, those were the indigenous people that lived down in the Grand Canyon. And when this time that was on Turtle Island was gone into the Ice Age and was inhabitable, the ones that came from Shambhala took the indigenous through the portals in the underground, in the underworld, and brought them into Kemet. And this is why that they discovered these artifacts and all of these same things that you find in pyramids. You find them there in the Grand Canyon, and most of the mountains are named Isis, Horus, Osiris Mountain. But the other part, too, that, like I was saying, that people go there to Mount Shasta, there is all of it connects to Shambhala, because there's a world under this world that we're on top, and there's a world within this world and below us. That's what it says, in earth as it is in heaven, because there are these two worlds. And what we're doing is that, yes, those ones that came from Lemuria, those ones that came from Mu, those ones that came from Atlantis, all of these are there in that underworld because of what they knew was coming to this world in this new evolution, and the beings in the Galactic Council, that the Galactic Federation, which is a council that oversees everything that goes on in our galaxy. And what they've done is that they've keep an eye and they have communications, just as you have UFOs. I forget what they call the ones that come out of the oceans, because they're cities up under the ocean. And so, and even the portals that they found in the North and South Pole, because this is why they don't allow them flying over, because these are open portals that go through the planet. And these are the things that's aligning, just as we have at the equator, we have the constellations are moving from Pisces to Aquarius. In the North Pole, in the exact center, we're aligned, the North Star is Dracos in the constellation, but Dracos is moving out, and Cepheus is the Ethiopian king's constellation. That's the father of Andromeda, and that constellation is now going to be the true north of star in the alignment with the grid. And so all of this is part of what they knew in watching what it says in Genesis, and when it talks about, and he said, let there be light, and then he named the sun, the moon, the stars and constellations, and he gave the signs and the seasons, because the constellations are the signs of who we are as a body. The head of man is Aries, which is the ram, and the feet are Pisces, and all in between is the human body, and this is Adam Kadmon. But in the making of man, it was Pistis Sophia who sent Zoe. When you study the Gnostic teachings of the, what is it, the Hagma, don't get me pronounced wrong, but it's Gnostic teachings, and it talks about Pistis Sophia, and she sent her daughter Zoe that put the breath into Adam, and when Adam awakened, he says, "You are the breath of life." That's what he told the woman that she was to him, because just as a woman, when she has a child, when the child, you pull the plugs out of the nostrils, and then the child takes the breath of life. But anyway, it's good that we are all communicating and overstanding our Akashic record. All of it is in the Akashic record.
And exploring more and more every day. Mama AZ and Lynn are back in the studio, I believe. Your mics are open.
Okay. Sister, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Wait a minute, I'm going to hang up Sister Lynn's phone and get on my phone.
Okay, your mic's open.
Beata?
Yes, your mic is open.
All right, thank you so much. We're now here at back at Fort Knockle. I wanted to ask Brother Kwame. What I heard earlier was that there is a committee of people that know that the spirituality is rising, and they are putting into motion whatever it takes to distort that, to discontinue it from rising. Is that what I hear you say?
Yeah, the same thing they did with eugenics. Even Roosevelt said it when they were looking at that, the superiority of the races. This is where the whole thing of the Aryan race or the European race, and being that it's the EU, which is Europe, and genics is the genetics, eugenics. That gave birth to what we call Planned Parenthood, is because what they wanted to do is to say that there was, you know, which we were the original, because the DNA has proven it by science. And their own workings have been able to prove in January 1988, Newsweek, Time Magazine, and all of them published the findings of what Dr., I think her name was Khan. You can look it up online in Newsweek, January 1988 issue, where they talk about the original mother of mankind was done by taking 147 placentas, which the mitochondria DNA is, and taking those placentas, and they tested them. Emory University here in Georgia, Oxford in England, and Berkeley University in California, and they found that the original DNA of all humankind comes from that little woman, which is they call pygmy or the bush people, there in Central Africa, the same place that Leakey found Danquesh or Lucy, which was 3.5 million, that is the origin of humankind. And everything migrated out of there and populated the planet in that new evolution that came after Atlantis, Mu, and Lemuria.
Wow, Brother Kwame. You know, the other day we went up to the golf course to have some nourishment, and I was driven to go outside because I was cold. I don't like air. So I went outside, and I walked on the golf course, the grass. And then this tree called me, and it was full of customers, a lot of policemen and deputy doodog sheriffs and whatever. And they were watching me. I didn't know this until Sister Lynn told me on the way back here to camp that everybody in the place was watching me. They didn't know what to think because I was out there laying up against the tree on the grass, and I gave some water libation to the grass. And everybody was asking Sister Lynn, you know, is she all right? Is she well? Or, you know, they've never seen anything like that. And I my spirit said, you're here to teach them how to get back to nature. They don't have a clue of how doggone disconnected they are.
Yes, and they do.
You think?
They do, because they've created a new, they've created two listings in the DSM-4 and 5, that's the psychiatrist's dictionary, as to human dysfunction. And what they call it is nature deficit disorder, and they call it ascension disorder. They classify you being disconnected from the earth as now being a disease or a psychological problem. And so there all of this is by design to take you away from the energy source, because it's conducive for them to hinder you and to control you better if they can put you into the maze of the same thing they do with mice when they teach them that, you know, I forget the anthropologist or social worker that created this, where they, you know, Pablo's something they call the theory. But anyway, that they run through these mazes to go eat, and they respond to a light or they respond to a bell. And it's the same thing that we're doing. We've been organized. Streets and cities are designed to run you through mazes and to do you, instead of going through natural paths on the earth and following the natural grid. They create a grid that takes you out of your natural order, because we were nomads once upon a time. And we walked and migrated with the frequencies of the earth. Even your language is conducive, where they prove it. Even language goes by frequencies that come from certain areas on the planet.
Well, you know, Brother Kwame, I'm learning, especially at my age, what do I have to lose? Nothing. And Sister Lynn handled it so beautifully when she said, no, she's all right. She's not a nutcase. She didn't say it like that. She just has a thing for nature and trees, and she's okay. And you know what? I am so grateful that I can be bold enough to not to concern myself anymore of what people think of me, because at the end of the day, I'm the only one that has to, you know what, write my book. And that's the bottom line. And I'm eternally grateful for ones like yourself, Brother Kwame, Sister Viata, Mama Bear, Lieutenant Tika, everybody, even
my family that I came to the planet with, you know, the lessons that they are teaching me by not being with me. I'm learning that is their way of giving me a message of what I came to the planet to do. And it's all right. It's all good, because the Creator has seen fit to open my eyes enough to recognize my extended family, the ones that are with me on this block talk on my Earth Day. Today I came in at 8:01 a.m. and I'm very grateful for all that all of you have brought spiritually to my life. And I'm grateful for being here at Fort Naco and just being able to be in this energy. It's incredible. It's just incredible, people. It is. And I love us. I love us.
And I thank us, Ms. Izzy, but, you know, we're the children in which the parents, those ones that Sister Viate was asking about, the Lemurians, and in that, those Lemurians were the ancestral parents of who we are, we were parented from. And the thing in which they did and was very pivotal, because we now use that same technology of what they did with storing information in crystals. And when they, like the sister in Oregon was just saying about the cities there up under Mount Shasta and those ones that are there, because those are our ancestors that have taken the information that, and they're giving it to us bit by bit. As far as we're using crystals, we're learning to use them in a good way, what we're creating, but they're doing the same thing with the science that they did with what happened to those that they say that happened with Atlantis. And that they used the crystals and they drew down energy that sunk the island. And what they're looking at is that they were the way showers of how to utilize crystalline energy and being able to record. This is where when they made the movie about the crystal skulls and those crystal skulls, all of the information all of the information that we have, the 200 billion people on Facebook, all of the information that right now that we have going through our internet system, through what the NSA and all of this other, can be fit into one small crystal. That's how much a crystal can hold as far as information. And you look at what the crystals there in Hot Springs, which is 143 miles, that's the world's largest one whole body of crystal that goes 143 miles from east to west and about 40 to 70 miles from north to south. All of that information is stored as those crystals are being pour from that 1.5 million gallons of silica that pours out of Hot Springs every day and has been doing it for thousands of years, because there's an underground ocean that is creating this energy. So what we're doing is that we are the generation, the seventh, because the Lemurians were 14,000 or 3,000 years before. We're just now 2,000 years into our existence. We're at 2017. it takes 25,920 years for this planet to go around this Milky Way galaxy. The existence of Lemuria, Mu, Atlantis, there were civilizations before them. There were parents before them. We're just now getting that bit of information. What happened 25,920 years ago? What were the civilizations in existence then, and what we are going to be receiving, because we're in that same space, we're in that same place in space that they were, and getting the energy that they had 25,000 years ago.
I'm here, Brother Kwame. I was on mute. I'm here.
Oh, I know, but I'm just you know, that's where I just left it at, because these are the things that we're getting when we're seeing, you know, peripheral beings, when we're seeing things that are showing themselves in the cosmic. We're seeing, you know, things that are happening, these alignments. You know, the one that's happening in September, the last time that happened was 7,000 years ago. How does this going to have an effect on us as conscious beings with this energy that happened 7,000 years ago? What type of information is coming from the cosmic that's going to activate us in the generations to come? What is the energies that's coming from the cosmic that's going to activate those eggs inside of every female womb body on the planet? Anybody there?
I think we're all just taking that in. It's kind of interesting that Sika is promoting a womb illusion, and they're now at the phase of detoxing and fasting, and so there are many women joining this movement, this womb illusion, and this and maybe it's all in preparation for that.
Right, and you know, as men, we have to learn to balance that. And we're looking at the last vestige of struggle in trying to keep this patriarchal system by what they put in their in control of their government. But there's a power greater than that, and we're seeing it unfold on the planet just by the discussions that we're having. We're not talking about Trumponomics. We're talking about cosmic, and we're talking about spiritual.
Yeah, I think that's the difference between the conscious individuals on the planet, is that we're not talking about Trump. There's so many people on Facebook that I have actually heard a lot of posts lately from people who are just so critical and so really hateful toward Trump. And I just see him as an entertainer at this point. And like you say, we're not going to talk about Trumponomics, because that's kind of irrelevant for us who are in this mode of thinking, that there are bigger things happening in the universe. So why should we focus on this one individual who's just performing as a puppet and who has been trained all his life to play this role, when you think about it, because it happened. And so I want to thank you for reminding us of that as conscious individuals, we do indeed have a different assignment than to sit around criticizing what's going on in Washington, D.C., because they're just a bunch of – they represent to me the unconscious collective mind. You know, they're so wrapped up in the ego and what they can – how much money they can make and how they can deceive and fool the American people and even the world. They're so entertaining to me, because we are aware of the agenda – and their motives. And so we don't have to get angry and upset and critical, in my mind, just to be, look what they're doing today. How funny. Well, they're good entertainment, good entertainers.
Right. And, you know, it was funny because what I was sending you the part and looking at how history is repeating itself, because when Roosevelt read the works of Charles Davenport, in that he talked about the degenerate society and what he was talking about us as a people. And those ones like the Jews, because that's where Hitler got the idea of killing off all the Jews, is because they're creating this human, this race. And there's a, you can go on a website called Eugenics US, and there's a letter on here that Theodore Roosevelt wrote to Charles Davenport, agreeing with him about getting rid of these people. And now what they're calling it now is that transhumanism is a whole new science in which they, the human cognome project, where they're talking about being able to genetically modify humans. And so it's the same instance in that they're looking at, okay, stopping the procreation using the methodology they did with the father of Miriam Sims when he created OBGYN. And that whole thing of using black women and that part of doing what they did. And when you were talking about Sika and the women now that are talking about the womb wellness and the womanness, is because that womb in the center of our Milky Way galaxy and that womb that's within all black women, all women on the planet, are one and the same. But the part of being able to now say that you can genetically modify, and even the thing that's even getting most dangerous when I seen it and when they were showing it about preemies being born and they're putting them in incubators, but now they say they don't have to put them in incubators. They're putting it in a synthetic womb and hooking the umbilical cord to a machine and growing that child, growing that child outside of that mother's womb in an artificial womb. This is getting dangerous as to what they're doing with humankind.
Exactly, and it just seems to be, like you said, it's a cycle. It's actually a cycle,
yeah,
of things that have already taken place, and we're just
right,
being able to witness it. We're witnessing it.
Right, because January 1913 is when that letter was there with Roosevelt, and transhumanism came. They were talking about this, and it's January 2017. They're talking about genetically modifying human beings again.
Yeah, never ending drama.
Yeah. So, but it's these type of conversations that we're connecting with the cosmic and cosmic energy out.
Are you there?
Yeah.
We're here, Sister Zia. We're here. We're also in the process of getting ready for a sacred ceremony drum, and I'm just elated. I'm elated, everybody. It's just like, I mean, we'll be sending some pictures. I just love it. I just love it. Give thanks. Now,
I'm here. Go ahead.
Okay, are you here?
Yes.
Okay. Can you talk about for Sister Lynn's awareness? Can you talk about what the purpose of a sweat and what's the protocol? Because she's going to be bringing a proposal to the city or whatever we have to do for Fort Knockle so that we can have healing sweat here at the fort.
And so could you share from, you know, your knowledge base what we need to do, if you don't mind?
Well, first of all, she doesn't have to really put a proposal on it by that somebody's got a feedback thing.
Okay, that was my I muted Mama AZ. I think that noise was coming from her. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, go ahead.
Feedback. Okay, but what I was saying was she's talking about putting a proposal in doing and what it would take to do a sweat. With 1976, Jimmy Carter gave the Freedom of Religious Act, which gives the indigenous people the right to have the indigenous church, which that's what the Inipe represents. It represents, the word means sacred place. And it's a place of sacredness, just as the church is to the European, the Inipe is the church of the indigenous culture. And what has been looked at is that it now is accessible to be able to say, I can perform my church ceremony, where you go into using the four elements, which is the earth, which you sit on, the standing talls, then you use water, fire, and air. And you use the oldest record keeper on the planet, which is the grandfathers and the grandmothers, and you heat them up with the standing talls to release their energy. And they're brought into and they're put into that circle within that Inipe in triple darkness, because it's not about seeing who's all in there. It's about the spiritual connection of the energy of those grandfathers and grandmothers in that pit, releasing their life force with the heat that they've gotten from the fire. They release that energy with the waters of life, creating the grandfather's breath that opens up your largest organ is your skin, and detoxifying the body, but also opening your pores in order for them to put in the energies that they have been holding since their conception as mineral people. So what we have in exchange of the record keepers and the humans now being able to partake in that exchange with cleaning the body, but also connecting with the spirit, because when the door opens, that steam or that grandfather's breath will take those words that said in that lodge and what is said in from your heart and the songs that are sung, takes that energy and releases it and sends it back to the creator. So that is the worshiping in the way of indigenous teachings, that we have our reference to the creator. I think that, I don't know if that answers our question.
Okay, Mama Z, your mic is open again.
Okay, thank you, sister. Yes, sir, it does. So you're saying we don't need to have a proposal. It's interesting that I don't know what happened at Camp Arizona. I guess it was just time for me to move in another direction. But the city of High Point, North Carolina, it took them 2 years to get me to court, back and forth, but it was 2 year time span that I ended up having to move, and it was actually a battle, but I didn't have enough clout behind me because of my religious rights. They were still able to move me out of there, and I didn't have a right to worship with my sweat lodge, my medicines, or anything. And I don't tell me about that, Brother Kwame.
The thing with that is, and this is the part that happens when you live move into an urban area. that land in which you're utilizing there is land that belongs not to us, but it belongs to them. Now, if that sweat lodge was a building and you was Pruffalo Dollar and you was messing with little boys and doing other things in a mega church, they wouldn't come in and bother you. They wouldn't shut you down. But when you're going back and you're doing things in a traditional way, they will try to close that down. Because what they did is they looked at it because a European named James Ray, there in Arizona, people paid him $10,000 to do a vision quest. And he created did a Nipe ceremony without traditional teachings. He, in turn, killed three people that gave that one flag, because out of the thousands of years that we have been doing ceremony of the Nipe, no one has ever died. So, in essence, because a European did it wrong, everybody else is now saying that, you know, oh, we can't do that, y'all can't do that, we have to make an ordinance. No, by religious right. That's why I started off with Jimmy Carter in 1976 gave that. He gave the right back. Before then, you could go to prison for doing that ceremony, because they knew that this was something in which they saw was the power of them, the same thing as the ghost dance. That's why you had the massacre at Wounded Knee, because of the spiritual essence of what they don't understand. But now you've got people paying hundreds of dollars now doing ceremonies and getting paid for it because they see the power of it. It's more powerful than going to mass with the Pope in Rome.
Thank you, Brother Kwame. Thank you. Now, what I know is that it's time for...
I don't know what's wrong with the phone today, Z, but you got a bad connection.
Okay, can you hear me better now?
Yeah, that's better. I don't know what you were doing, but that was a real bad connection.
Okay, I apologize. I put us on speaker, but it doesn't work. All that I know is right now it's time for all medicine people, indigenous ones, to take full advantage of these, like you said, these locations that we have available to us, and no matter what it takes, don't be afraid to move forth, because now is the time. It's our time. And I'm not just talking about melanated people. I'm talking about all medicine people who are about the whole, the oneness of humanity, period. You know, it doesn't, it matters and it doesn't, because we have all been all races of people. It's just my opinion about it. And it is time for all of us with the indigenous knowledges to come together. So that's my read on it. I'd like to hear what others have to add to that before we get started with our ceremony. Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, that's an accurate read on it.
Okay, then. Well, Sister Viata, Brother Kwame, Mama Bear, and all that are listening, please let others know. I hope Lieutenant will listen to this if she isn't on the line. And I just give thanks. So I'm going to sign off so that we can drum. And everybody, thank you so much for being in this one human family. I appreciate it.
And thank us and stay in joy.
Book always,
sister. Will you survive in this land? Oh.